Welcome to Never Overnight, where the focus is the struggle, the success, and the story in between. My name is Benad Jacob, and I'm your host. If you're a fan of this podcast, remember to subscribe, rate, and share it with your friends by searching Never Overnight on wherever you stream your podcast from. In today's conversation, I talk with Josh Verghese. He's a sports executive at BSB Sports. BSB is a full-service sports management and marketing agency. We talk about his journey and career in sports management, from working with the New York Yankees and the New York Knicks, the rookie mindset he believes in, and so much more. Josh has experienced struggle, success, and this is his story. Josh, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Benaj. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Does January 17th, 2016 mean anything to you?
January 17th?
January 17th, 2016.
Oh, man. What do you know that I don't know?
That is the last time that you sent out a tweet.
Interesting.
And the point that I'm making is that if this conversation is trash, the best way to not reach Josh is on Twitter. So make sure you reach out to him.
Yeah. If you want to let your feedback, IG, LinkedIn, email, but not Twitter.
We have a lot to jump on when it comes to sports marketing, when it comes to life. Before we dive into all that, let's dive into your upbringing. How did you come to loving sports from a young age? And did you have someone that you were a fan of?
So sports to me, I think it came natural. I just always wanted to play. Early on, soccer was my first sport. Slowly got into basketball. I was just kind of always drawn to sports and being outside. I was always outside as a kid. From an influence standpoint, my grandfather was a big influence on sports and the importance of it. You know, although he was in India and me being in the States, he always preached the importance of being in sports. He was a big soccer captain growing up. He played a bunch of sports at his college. You know, he really influenced me and kind of supported me in, okay, you know, playing sports and not just being focused on education.
Yeah.
As a lot of people in our culture go through. But yeah, that was my grandfather. My parents, you know, they supported me playing, but school was always first.
Yeah.
If we're talking athletes that influenced me, it was Allen Iverson.
Okay.
Allen Iverson was a player that I really just respected, just his swagger, just the way he approached the game, you know, him going against the grain and just being himself. And a lot of what he did, you know, I tried to emulate in myself and still continue to do so. Yeah. So my grandpa and Allen Iverson.
Now, considering those were your two sports heroes, was there anything about them that you took away from either hearing about them or watching them play that you took away and you're like, this is something that I can apply to in life?
I think it was the way they both talked about sports so passionately, and it was so organic. You know, it wasn't something that had to be forced upon me. And obviously, we all know how Allen was back in the day. You know, we talking about practice.
Yeah.
My grandfather always lit up when he talked about sports. In our culture, we call Grandpa Uppachin.
Yeah. So
my Uppachin was very enthusiastic. And when he shared his stories, it was just, he just was speaking about it with so much joy that really influenced me and really kind of moved me to really try and do something, be somebody playing the game or being a part of it in some way.
You started playing middle school and high school sports, basketball?
Yeah, middle school was really when I really focused on basketball.
Yeah.
And I wanted that to be my thing. But middle school was when I started getting serious.
And when did you realize you were not going to be an athlete for the future?
In high school. In high school when I played, yeah. You know, I had a lot of teammates. They all had aspirations to, you know, play in college, probably professionally at that time. But I was always realistic with myself. And I knew this brown boy ain't making it to the NBA. Let's be real. But sports taught me a lot. I enjoyed being around the game and being around my brothers that I played basketball with. You know, when you play sports, you're amongst a team, you got a brotherhood. It's almost like a family.
Yeah. And speaking of your passion, your love for sports, you combined it, your love for sports and your curiosity for business. When did you realize you could combine it?
I think late in high school, towards my senior year, I think I came across the concept of an agent, back then, and really did my research, went on different rabbit holes, and I saw there was a business side to sports. And at the same time, I was getting involved in business classes in high school and really saw that as a lane for me. So I would say high school was really when I saw this career, this path open up to me. From there, it's been history, a lot of ups and downs, but that's when it all started.
Being in the culture that we're in the brown culture, like having a passion versus doing something that's less risky is a challenging conversation with our parents. And like I'm aware of it, you're aware of it. At one point, I've heard you say that it was like walking through therapy in a way or something like that. So walk me back to that. Like how was it having that conversation with your parents? How was the reaction like when you decided to pretty much choose your passion?
So for me, that really conversation started to get serious with my family right when I was trying to declare a major, probably my sophomore year of college, because I didn't go in a college declared. And I was exploring different business paths. There was a sports management, sports business path as well. And I really wanted to go down that route. And my parents, we know how our parents operate in our culture. Especially being first generation here, they want something that's safe, something that's tried and tested, what they see as successful from their lens. So they wanted the doctor, pharmacist, lawyer. We already know. But so I told them I want to do sports business, and we had a conversation. They got my aunt and uncle involved one day, a vivid memory. We sat down, had probably an hour conversation, just like, what do you want to do with that? Like, do you want to be a gym teacher? Like, you're not going to do anything with that. Like, what jobs are out there? And it was very heated, very passionate discussion. And I just decided to stick to my gut. I knew what I wanted to do. I had to do further research from that point onwards to show them kind of the trajectory of what that major could do for me. And because I didn't really know at the time, I just was following my passion and my gut. That was kind of a kick in the butt to be like, hey, go figure out what it is you want to do. Because people say they want to be in sports business, but what do you want to do? So they weren't keen on it, but they've always supported me with what I wanted to do. They have their opinions, and we might disagree. But that's why the one thing I love about my parents, even though we disagree, they understand that the fact that they'll let me do what I think is best until I fail, and then they come into the picture, but that hasn't been the case, not yet at least.
And because that hasn't been the case, have they come to a moment where like they've come full circle in terms of now it's just like full on support without doubt, or is there still doubt there in terms of like your trajectory from their point of view?
From a career standpoint, I think they've seen what they need to see to be at ease. They've been super curious about, the sports business landscape and the things that I'm doing. During my time at the Yankees, my mom didn't know anything about sports. And then once I started working with the Yankees 3 years in, she's calling me on the phone talking about, I'm watching the game right now. It was a 3-run home run. Wow. Like, and that was a moment for me, like to see her excitement, combined with what I'm doing in life and how I'm making my earning despite the history that we had. It was a full circle moment. Just want to help take it as far as I can and continue to make them proud.
Isn't it funny how that works? Like, and I feel like I got that with my parents too. Like, as we've gotten older and as our parents gotten older, it's been so much more of an understanding. And now it's like, oh, you like what I do.
Yeah, 100%, man. You nailed it on the head, especially being first generation here. Our parents came here. There was so much unknown for them. Once they have kids, it's like they want what's best for us and what's safe, what they see. So it's on us to really be trailblazers on, you're doing what you're doing. There's not a lot of people in our community doing what you're doing. So I think we have to take that responsibility and really show the other parents that, these opportunities exist and they have a sample to go off of to be like, all right, if my son or daughter wants to do whatever it is, All right, cool. I see Binaj doing that. I see Josh doing that. All right,
Yeah.
go ahead.
Do you feel because we're kind of trailblazers in what we're doing, do you feel like there's a lot of pressure on you, or do you feel it as just like it's not pressure? It's just you doing your own thing.
That's a good question. I don't think there's pressure for me personally.
Okay.
I think if you have the best intentions and have the determination to do what you want, things will kind of set and fall in place,
Yeah.
which will then inspire, hopefully, the next generation. But I don't put pressure on myself in that aspect.
And I've heard you say that sometimes it's really just about, taking the first step and keeping your mind curious. For you, for that first step was a conference in Newark at the Prudential Center way back in the day. And you were just pretty much throwing yourself out in front of like teams in terms of the direction that you want to go to. What did you learn about yourself that day, considering all these teams are there and you're just throwing yourself out of the fire to see who would stick?
Well, first off, to kind of backtrack, that moment happened because I decided, hey, I need to go figure out what jobs are out there. I was in college and, you can take all the courses, but you got to figure out what's out there. So I saw this job fair come up on a listing and I was like, you know what? I got to go do it. Let me just go. I didn't know what to expect. And I get there, it's a bunch of teams. I have my resume. I kind of had a little elevator pitch in mind. I get there and it's all sales-based jobs at these different teams, the 76ers. You had a bunch of minor league teams, a few soccer teams. The Yankees were there. And really, I went there and I was like, all right, let me go see what the landscape looks like. But ultimately, what I learned was be confident in yourself, build a relationship, and be concise. That was kind of my three main elements going in that I wanted to focus on. And building relationships was a key part. Spoke to a bunch of people, some that probably didn't like me, but ultimately I met my manager at the Yankees who would ultimately hire me, and we built a connection. We stayed in touch via LinkedIn, and the rest is history.
And you mentioned confidence a few times. So this opportunity with the Yankees turned into ticket sales, right? And the ticket sales was pretty much you doing classes in the daytime, doing this part-time job at night, then going to classes afterwards.
Yeah, so basically the way it worked, it was the first job I had with the Yankees. It was a night sales program
Yeah.
in 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the Bronx. And I went to school at Rutgers, an hour and a half away. So to your point, I had classes, drove an hour and a half to work 3 hours, get paid basically what I got, I had to pay in tolls to
Yeah.
get there, and then have night classes later that evening. But the job was calling people who bought tickets to a Yankee game and building a relationship with them over the phone and trying to convert them into some multi-game season ticket buyer. So it was all about asking the right questions. The Yankees did a great job of training me. I wasn't keen on sales, but I was just open, to whatever it was and the opportunity to work for the Yankees and to do whatever. I would have been a janitor there, just to learn and be a sponge from those great minds. Yeah, I was calling. People like you, if you came out to a game, Banaj, I'd call you, be like, Banaj, how's it going? My name is Josh with the Yankees. What
Yeah.
brought you out to the game? And just having a conversation. And there's a lot of emotional attachments to people, buying within sports. It's not just about the team, it's the experience, it's about the connection with their son that they're bringing out or daughter that they're bringing out, those moments that they create. So trying to tap into those when I was speaking to people. And just learning about different individuals. I would call a person that sat right behind home plate and a person that sat the furthest nosebleed seat, in the house. And, those are two different income levels. Learning about those different types of people was something that I found very interesting. Similar to, how we met, man. Like,
Yeah.
I didn't know you a few years ago. We had a conversation. We met at the event in New York. A
Yeah.
few years later, we had a call and I learned about you and I was like, I felt good after our call.
Yeah. Prior to my life in radio, I didn't really have that much confidence, but going on a mic and talking every single night over and over again, the confidence started developing where it's like, oh, I can talk to anyone about anything. And I'm bringing this up because I'm going to ask about your confidence. Did you have a different level of confidence prior to cold calling and prior to starting with the Yankees versus afterward? Like, are you now so much more confident because the reps that you put in from when you started?
That's a good question, because I think the confidence comes with the experience that you have in the related field that you're working in. You know, when we're talking career-wise, and yeah, the reps definitely help. And it was very important for me to build my confidence, because I experienced a lot of rejection. You know, there'd be times I'd call and people wouldn't want to talk, or just cold to the fact that I was reaching out to them from the Yankees. I got rejection early on in that role, and a lot of it. So that made that rejection kind of white noise to me, and I was used to it. So once you're okay with rejection, I think it helps you kind of push it to the side when you do experience it. And ultimately it helps you become more confident. And I think I take that with every experience that I have, with every role that I have, any project that I'm dealing on. It's, you know, you're always going to fail somewhere, but it's never, never losses, only lessons. That's the way I look at it. And having a platform to give you confidence is very important. You know, you got to find that platform that you have, that you want to, that you're passionate about, that whatever it is, you know, let that be where it fuels you to be that practice field.
Do you have those moments of those human moments of doubt, or did you just happen to like push through? If you had doubt, how did you handle it?
I did have a lot of doubt because I was an intern.
Yeah.
Making the money just to travel back and forth. And, you know, we all have aspirations to be at a certain level and we're young, you know, but you got to control your own pace, have that doubt, but have the confidence. So, you know, I was just living in the moment, taking it every day, day by day.
And you mentioned platform before. So seeing your name tied, your first name, last name at Yankees, I've heard you say before that it was your Superman cape. So yeah. I got to ask you, did you feel as if you made it at that moment? Because Superman cape, that means you felt like you were a Superman. So
it was just the cape. I didn't feel like Superman. The reason I said that and why I felt that way, Fanaj, was because, you know, working for an organization like the Yankees and reaching out to people, I had basically, if I emailed anybody, it would have kind of weight, you know. And I used that opportunity while I was there to really connect with different people, people that I shouldn't have been talking to, you know, being 1, 2, 3 years out of college, reaching out to CEOs, CMOs, sports agents. And oftentimes while I was at the Yankees, I reached out to people to connect with them and not sell them. That's why I say Superman cape. So wherever people are at, you know, even if you're at a small mom and pop shop, find your Superman cape, you know, whatever it is. It's hard to figure it out, but find out what it is and see how you can connect with either your local community or the people you want to reach out to. See how you can provide value to people. So, yeah.
Did you find the same type of connection with the Knicks as you did with the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, I did. So with the Knicks, I was a statistician. I was a game night statistician.
Yeah.
During the same time. That was a fun experience. I did that for 5 years as well. And, you know, I was just tracking the stats for games. So, you know, down point, who got the assist, who got the steal. That was just another opportunity for me to be a part of the game. I always wanted to be in the game, working with players, you know, working alongside, you know, just having an impact. And that helped fuel that flame for me. And I just love basketball. So if I had that job for free, I probably would have done it. And we had a great stats crew over at the Knicks. Shout out my guys. And they're so great. They taught me a lot. Just being at the Garden, actually, and having that access, at being a statistician, I was able to be courtside, you know, see the main players, see different agents, learn about different people, you know, coming to the Mecca of basketball. So it was a different experience, but it allowed me to be closer to the game.
Yeah. When I was younger, I was fortunate enough like to have the opportunity to be a Miami Heat reporter, and that was for free. And I was totally happy doing it for free, even though it was like an hour drive to get there, just because it's like I love the game so much, and the fact that I could just be around players and coaches, and it was a proud moment for me. For you, did you have a proud moment when you were with the Knicks, considering how much you love basketball?
I think every day I came to work for the Knicks, I was proud.
Okay.
Every single day, just because I was able to be in the game. I came to the stadium, you know, the arena, Madison Square Garden, every day for work, every day I'd come to the arena and I would just look and just be like, damn, this is the mecca of basketball. This is where my favorite athletes, my favorite basketball players come and try and show out because they're playing in New York. We've seen all the top games from Kobe, Jordan. They've all had aspirations of just basically going to work at the Garden. So for me to be work in that same building, I wanted to do my thing to show out and to do the best I can on the with my stats crew, but just do what I love.
Did you have any standout favorite memories at all, whether it be interaction with players, fans, family?
At Madison Square Garden or?
Yeah, at MSG, yeah.
Yeah, so I also interned there before I was a statistician. So I worked with our marketing partnerships team, and there was this basically sponsored segment for our Rangers games. The New York Rangers play their hockey team, and they had the Zamboni ride. And they were like, Josh, go find who's going to be on the Zamboni during halftime.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, let me go all the way to the top.
Yeah.
The most, you know, the cheapest seat in the house. And I looked for a family, a father, a son, father and a daughter, mother and a son, mother, daughter, who were there by themselves. And I, you know, wanted to think it was their first time coming to the game. And I wanted to create a new experience and a new memory for them. That father, that mother may have spent a paycheck on coming to the game, but I wanted to surprise them and take that opportunity to really try and make somebody's day. So it was very special for me because growing up, you know, my parents, they couldn't put me behind, you know, courtside or on the 100 level. I went to one game. My dad took me to Sixers game versus the Pacers to see my boy Iverson, and we were all the way upstairs, but I didn't even care. I was just so happy that I was there. Yeah. So it was special for me.
My dad is the one who got me into basketball. And as he's gotten older, like every 5 years, I've taken on his birthday, I've gone to Heat games for him. And it's kind of funny because it's like when I started thinking about these things, our seats started at the 300 level. And then like every couple of years when it's a birthday and I take him out to a Heat game, like we get lower each time. To me, it's just like one day we'll make it courtside, you know, but this is the journey.
That's the progress in the journey, like you said, in what we're doing. And
yeah. And going from the Yankees to the Knicks, and then after that, you went to BSB, where you're now doing your own thing. How is this different from your previous stops? And what made you want to go into this new chapter, this new challenge?
Well, that opportunity came across my plate in 2020. And I got to shout out and give all credit to my current CEO, Cash Shake, who's the founder of our agency, BSB Group, which is a marketing agency at our core. Provided marketing services for Fortune 500 companies, startups. I've known him since 2013. I met him while I was at Rutgers. He actually founded my fraternity. He was the founder at the University of Texas in 1998. I crossed the same fraternity at Rutgers in 2012, I want to say. I think I got my dates right. And he built a very successful marketing agency. Some of the clients we work with are Kroger, Procter & Gamble, Microsoft, a bunch of startups. So he was doing his thing. He came to New York in 2019 and was like, I invited him out to a game at the Yankees. And he was like, hey, I'd love to start a sports division. So we stayed in touch, talked about it. And October of 2020, he was like, let's do this. Let's build this sports division, a sports marketing division where we're working with athletes, helping them grow their brands, content, you know, everything that we see that athletes are doing today. And then also helping linking brands with athletes. And that was always a goal of mine, a passion of mine to do. And it's been 2 years since we've been working together. You know, he's a mentor to me. I've learned so much from him. It's a new field, you know, marketing, learning new jargon that I've never learned before. So, you know, he believed in me. We got a great team over there at BSB. So, and it's very fulfilling.
Younger Josh wanted to be an agent, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like this is kind of a full circle moment doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. I always wanted to do this. When I first time you think about sports business, you think about a sports agent, right? So that was the kind of concept that was in my head, occupation that was in my head. Granted, we're not working on the contractual elements on the field, on the court, but the marketing aspect of endorsements and things like that. So, which is what always fascinated me. But yeah, it's been full circle.
And considering how much you've experienced in life and in careers and this new chapter now, do you feel like you've succeeded so far in your career?
Damn, got to put that heavy question on me.
Because it's up to you to translate what success means.
I mean, I don't know, man. That's a great question. I mean, do I feel successful right now? I would say no. Now you got me thinking on what success is that I ask myself sometimes, but never really hone in on it. But I think success for me is just being happy, making the people around me happy, and just helping people, providing value, and doing it in my own way. So I don't think I've reached that yet.
It's kind of funny. Like when I ask that question, I've always concluded the same thing where it's like our definition of success has constantly changed the more older that we've gotten. When we're young, like we put a money amount on success. But as we've gotten older and wiser, it's really just come down to impact. Like it really comes down to what you want your legacy to be.
100%. I think success is like a forming concept. When you're 5 years old, you know, you have a concept of success and that changes, you know, year over year. And I think until you're really established and you feel like you're in the place where you want to be, and it probably evolves from there as well, you know, because success is not just career based. It's emotional success. It's physical success. It's spiritual success. So I think it always changes. And, you know, people who want to be successful, they have their goals that they set in place, which act as barometers. I think that's what it is for me. I wanted to work with athletes. I did it, but it's not the ultimate success. What's next? So I think you always have to have different goals that you have that help define success.
One thing I've learned about you is that your mindset is constantly in rookie mindset. And could you explain what that means and how you maintain that when you go through different successful moments?
Yeah, for sure. I think the way I look at it and the phrase that I have is you got to be a student of the game. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a pro and you've been doing it for years, or in my case, I'm coming into a new situation where I got to learn, you know, people, I got to learn the industry from scratch. So always having that openness to learning and being open to getting feedback, understanding trends and things happening within your space, because things are always evolving, just like success. You know, the industry that you work in is always evolving. There's always something new. So you got to learn about all the trends that are happening. You got to learn about yourself, the people that you work with. And I think it's just that mindset is very important. So being a student of the game.
The last question that I have for you, because at the end of the day, this is a storytelling podcast, but it's also a motivational one. And as you mentioned before that, you know, me and you are kind of new in our own fields in terms of what we're doing, but we also want to have an impact on maybe the current generation or the next generation for people to be like, yes, you're able to do this. So my last question for you would be, what would be the advice that you would have? Let's call it little Josh Verghese is out there, right? Yeah. For people that want to pursue maybe what you're doing, and what would be your advice for them in terms of going into it, maintaining it? What's the advice?
I would say, you know, control your own destiny. Whatever it is that you want to do, try and find a way to control it within your means. So if you want to, you know, go into a certain industry, learn about that industry as much as possible. That's how you're going to control it. Get in touch with those right people to learn. Try and get an interview, whatever it is. Don't just fantasize about what you're passionate about and what you want to do, but control it, own it, figure it out, and go against the grain. Just do what you love, man, because we see all these people doing what they love. And I think that's what inspires us to do what we do. So let's go make it happen and be the version that you want yourself to be.
Josh, man, thank you so much for the conversation and just give me your time. I really appreciate it, bro.
No, I really appreciate this, man. You've been a great person to get to know over the last few years, man. I'm inspired by you, and it's an honor to be a part of this podcast and to speak to you.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you. Thank you so much to Josh for sharing his story. If you're a fan of this podcast, remember to subscribe, rate, and share with your friends by searching Never Overnight on wherever you stream your podcast from. My name is Binaj, and thanks for listening.